Yeah. What up, folks? How are you all doing today?
Great.
I'm doing good. You good? Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we. Hey, folks, we got a great guest tonight. If you don't know Vinny Positivo, you should.
You positively should see Vinny Positivo.
Did you really just do that?
I'm in a mood today.
I'm this in a mood. Jamoke, let me tell you. Oh, my God. Anyway, good morning.
Yeah, this Stunat over there. What this guy? What this guy over here? You can.
By the way, bring an interview today because I'm on a roll today.
Pasta Vino. You know, usually my last name gets truncated to like Pasta Vino, and that's kind of like what. But I whatever it takes, you know. What? Also, I'm like I grew up in the 70s, 80s, so I'm Super Mario Brothers. Obviously, had a tremendous impact on my Italian upbringing. I like to point out that my name goes with like level 4 of every world. So it goes Vinny Positivo. Vinny Positivo. It's like kind of how I try to get it phonetically out there. But I appreciate the space, guys. It's good to be home.
Sweet.
So good.
So, you know, I want to get into MTV. I mean, that is huge and broad, and I know I'm doing a Farleyism right now. But you were with MTV from 98 to 2007, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
The music videos were pretty much gone by then.
Yeah, it was reality TV, right?
Go on, get. Yes. It's like they got sent to the kids' table. That's what happened.
That's right.
More cousins came. A couple of aunts and uncles claimed their seats, and suddenly MTV2, you know, kind of became like the kids' table, and that's where music, you know, went. That's where the cool kids went. Like
so, basically, MTV went from like. They saw Girls Gone Wild, and then they said, "Hey, let's just make a bunch of TV shows like that."
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the advertisers, why MTV gets all the blame for that? The advertiser is the one that, come on. That's not
true. They drove it.
Love it.
Oh, it's true.
So I want to know, how many reality shows did you work on and what was your favorite?
Oh gosh. I don't know how many. Hundreds of reality shows I worked on. I would say the ones that I probably learned the most from, they're all like every single one of them. I only do one thing once. I cast one Real Housewives franchise, the Housewives of New Jersey. I cast one group of friends in Laguna Beach that turned into the Hills. I cast one family called the Osbournes to do like a family reality. And I never kind of went back and did that again.
Was that hard to cast the Osbournes? Like you had to find a family named the Osbournes.
So I'll be yeah, right. Currently casting an Ozzy Osbourne, someone who is illegible and unknown to the MTV audience.
That's right.
Right? You know, with respect to Ozzy, though, communicating him was tough. But you would go through Sharon. He kind of spoke Sharon.
Yeah.
So you spoke to Sharon. You asked the question, though, were the Osbournes tough? To be honest, that show was almost impossible to get greenlit. My boss, really? The guy, Rod Asa, he's currently now the head of Unscripted at NBC. So he, I like to say, he brought true crime to Oxygen, and he got the Kardashians off E. A great guy, by the way. So like a lot. He created the Osbournes, and it was a sit down with him and Sharon. Sharon had the vision.
Yeah,
but the format hadn't been tested. No one understood what it meant to follow people to give someone 30 minutes meant take away 8 music videos on MTV to create that space, that 30 minute, 22 and a half minutes of programming, you know, split up, you know, that's 7 or 8 music videos back in the day.
Yeah.
So what Rod did actually, which was pretty brilliant, is Rod booked Kelly and Jack on an episode of Cribs. And it was that episode of Cribs that was played in a development meeting with new context that allowed us to put some money into shooting what was going to be like a family situation show in the kitchen. Cause like Ozzy loved watching the Food Network. There was, you know, I don't want to generalize, but a lot of action happens in the kitchen. So if you watch any of my shows, my ensemble series, there's like makeups, breakups, family reunions, family deunion. Everything happens in the kitchen, you know, for me.
True.
It did.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Major conversations. When you're, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Let's just break it down. Us Italians, when we're in the kitchen, everything happens. right?
Yeah, it's usually in the center of the house. So you think if we scream in the middle, no one by the windows can hear us screaming, right? Don't go in the living room. Yeah. The neighbors can hear the living room. Don't go in the TV room. The neighbors can hear the TV room. Don't go down to the foyer. That's right next, you know, everyone's going to hear you. But like the kitchen, come on.
Interesting.
It's a little fighting under neon lighting you got to do. And you resolve, by the way. You resolve usually, to be honest, a little soppressata, some like olives, Italian bread stuffed with mashed potatoes, and anything that was like, you eat a little bit, you break bread with family, and you get over it. And that methodology, that sort of framework is my favorite framework for reality.
Yeah.
So
this is the first show you actually did with MTV.
A very busted, a very Busta Christmas special, Busta Rhymes. I had to cast, I know I saw this casting notice, you know, I wanted to be a casting director and I didn't, you know, I went out and I took out this ad and I told people I'm going to be a casting director. If you're looking to be cast in movies and commercials, send me your headshot. People send me their headshot. And I'm looking in this magazine called Backstage and it said, yeah, I'm looking. I didn't even know what I was looking. I was looking for anybody who wanted to send me an 8x10. That's literally what I was looking for. I wasn't even looking for the singers, the actors, the models. I was just curious to see who was out there. And also I was a senior in college, still in school when I started my company. So like, I didn't realize then. But what happened is I got hundreds of headshots sent to me at school. I got in trouble. I had like this miracle on 34th Street, you know, with the bins. And I'm like, it's not my fault. I got more, you know, submissions than like our incoming freshman class. You know, this is my perspective. Staten Island is so small being from Staten Island. It's so myopic. It's so everything passes through Manhattan. It comes through Staten Island. It just felt so small compared to what I was up for. And when I got 300-400 people that submitted to me, I went and created a database because I didn't know what to do. So I come from like I worked in the computer center. I help people with their papers, and I help people with their spreadsheets and like their homework, formatting it and getting it printed and scanning photos in and digitizing content. And I went to school from 95 to 98, 99. That's when the hard disk went out, when microprocessors turned into desk CPUs and Macs were coming, Apples were coming out, the fun shapes that you were seeing.
And there was something huge happening in Staten Island then.
Yeah.
Something ginormous. Wu-Tang!
That's it. Culture, right? It put us on the map. By the way, I have to bring this up. So I kind of say I grew up, but I went to college 95 to 99. That's also when data and technology is shifting from digital from analog to digital to HD to Blu-ray to HD DVD 720 1080, you know, like, so I got to really experience managing data. So when it came time for MTV to create the talent and series development department, they weren't looking for me to be like a casting director. They needed someone who can organize the content, who can figure it out how to create one sheets pitches. And I spent hours cleaning up people's homework and looking at papers and things that were not my words. It was their words, but I had to create a one sheet that made it feel like it was like I was creatively exploring with them on their homework. What should the one sheet look like? What should the font look like? And all of that turned into talent one sheets and show pitches and casting one sheets. So people's like, how did you turn from a data engineer into like a casting executive at MTV? I just organized my relationships with people and methodically connected with them when I had opportunities. So
yeah,
I ran into a casting director in 42nd Street. Whitney Houston was at MTV and she was promoting the Prince of Egypt soundtrack, as it was, this is like the late 90s. And someone asked me, like, picked me on the street, and they asked me if I would ask Whitney Houston a question. Would I like ask her a question on the microphone? The question was, what was it like to record with Mariah Carey on the Prince of Egypt? So I practice my sentence and my question, you know, and I do it to the camera, and this is my, I'm working with the director, comes over and she's helping me, and the stage manager and the VJ. So I'm getting excited. I'm going to be on TV. I got a couple of buddies from MTV from Wagner College with me here. I see the producer go up to Whitney. I see her I see the mouth. I see her say, this is the guy he's going to ask the question. What was it like working with you and Mariah Carey? And I see her go, I'm not answering that. Mm-mm. I am not answering that question. Pick a different question. And there was my entire future, right out the window. And the guy came back to me. He said, you know, there's been a change. She's not going to answer the question for whatever reasons. And thank you. And I said, all right, this was an awesome experience. If you need any help, if you ever need people to show up and do what I just did, I know dozens of dancers and actors and talented people who will come here and spend and give you this energy. And the next sentence he said to me was like, I got a very Busta Christmas special and the Whitney Houston It's Not Right, But It's Okay video, which got me my job on Tom Green. And that was like the first series that I got to rock out with on MTV is the Tom Green show. Booking audience members, yeah. Which was like basically getting my youth group, anyone that I went to high school with. I'm from like the tri-state area.
Youth group to Tom Green.
Yeah. Oh my God. My sister was in the audience the day that Tom did the skit with the vibrators and the older people, and they didn't, you know. Yeah, I never remember. And she was like 7 years younger than me, but she was the MTV demo. And I was like, I don't know about this one. My family didn't come to that show anymore.
My sister vibrators, I don't want
to. No, I was not happy. I was like, no. In fact, she would go to TRL with like a little, you know, she felt a little almost privileged to go to TRL because she always wanted to meet the stars. I was like, go, come on, let's go to Green Room. This is like, I got this. This is, get in there. Yeah. But just stay away from Tom Green. True story. And this was the Drew Barrymore days. Come on. This was like crazy Tom Green I got.
What is one show that you just were a part of that you were like your favorite? I know you have 100.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, how many people that you worked with and all that. Is there like a moment of a show that you were a part of that you thought was incredible? Or is there a show that you're just like so proud of?
The Challenge, for sure.
Challenge. I love The Challenge.
The Challenge. Casting TJ, casting Dave Mira, casting Johnny Mosley, getting to cast the host of Johnny that show.
Mosley, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny. I mean, I got the assignment.
Right?
What's that?
He was the original.
Yeah, well, there was like a couple of cast members. Mark and Eric, I think Puck hosted it. Like there was a couple of originals and The Challenge kind of came as a crossbreed between Road Rules and Real World and Real World always did amazingly well. Yeah. Road Rules by like the late 90s was sort of supporting the cast of The Challenge. It was sort of like the reason why we were getting new blood and ultimately they converted it into The Challenge. And by the way, if you watch MTV now, they actually have reality stars from other networks now competing. I think that's awesome. Like that's I always wanted, like the Survivor people, but the Survivor cast comes in and they're like, no, like we have like bug, but they have like scars from being out in the sand. I was like, oh no, that's, I mean, we have reality shows, but we're not like sending people to the middle of the island and like, but The Challenge does. The Challenge pushes people to a physical and mental limit. And to see TJ in that spot for like 38 seasons or whatever it's been, and I met TJ in the late 90s. Tony Hawk was shooting we were shooting Rock and Jock Music Festival in Vegas back when ESPN was just coming out. And I remember in the late 90s being in meetings when they were like, we're losing more male viewers. They're following sports. Sports only is working on ESPN. No athletes are working on MTV. Sports basically got shut down in 98, 99. And I remember how difficult it was to get, I loved Rock and Jock, like music festival. I love sports and music festival. I rode my BMX bike in Staten Island dirt trails. Like I was so into music and bike riding. I loved that idea. So TJ Lavin is like my dream come true, you know, but on that show, we were at Carson and we were at his house shooting something and something was going late and I was distracting. I was like cleaning up an area and he always talks about this in GQ or Sports Illustrated, which is so cool to be part of someone who's like such a figure to MTV generations, not just my generation, but generation, like five generations since I've left MTV, all the way down to Gen Alpha or whatever we're calling the newest group now.
Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Gen X is best. That's all
I feel you on that one though. Finally, we're at the top of the apex. It feels good to be back in the, back out of that middle ground, I'll tell you.
And you got to look at like MTV and how they went from Road Rules and, you know, going to The Challenge.
Yeah.
Opened up a lot of other things.
It did.
And like, what's the circus one?
The circus one on
like on MTV, right? Travis Pastrana. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Nitro Circus. Absolutely. Nitro Circus. Yeah.
Did you get to work on that?
That happened after I was there.
Oh, but you know what? Okay. Eric Rohner,
The was seed was there. Planted. The
I went to school planted. With him.
Oh, that's cool.
He passed away. Rest in peace, Eric. Yeah. He was amazing. But it did lead into a lot of that.
Rob Dyrdek. Look at what.
Jackasses and that God, kind of yeah. stuff, right?
Oh, the so, Jackass guys. That's like a whole nother.
But don't
that's
you
a whole nother like story we can talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Where the challenge brought a lot of that.
The, it all stems from Real World. Yeah. It all goes back to, right. to Mary Alice Bynum and Jonathan Murray creating the show that it explored real people. And MTV did that show forever. In 95, you brought up Wu-Tang. In 95, Michael Jackson had a huge impact in culture on MTV. It shifted how shows were developed, and in shows like Yo MTV Raps that were never part of the conversation were created. MTV shifted from a rock and roll music network to a music network. So we're now all encompassing of all music genres. Which
Ed
is
Lover. Love that.
I love Ed Lover. Yeah.
Oh these, my God. Yeah.
Like those are people that like I was trained. I'm trained by these people. You know what I mean? Like it's ridiculous. Awesome. The conditioning that I have. It just comes. I couldn't be happier that a guy from Staten Island like me who felt like I knew so much, but man, I'm from a tiny little island compared to like what the rest is out there. It was eye-opening. And I never did Jersey Shore, and I never painted a light. It was never even interesting to me. What'd you say?
Thank God.
Thank God. Yeah, right. I got some not necessary, but very articulate and angry messages and letters actually sent. How could you do what? How could you use your power to make? I'm like, what? This is not me. Like, look at the.
I didn't do it.
It wasn't me. Yeah, yeah, right.
I was. I was going to go out and do a show about the Quakers.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. If you knew, the first show I did was Ethan. I loved it. I wish we could have done a show like that back then at MTV. For me, it was always
they did an Amish, the Amish, what's it called? Blitzkrieg or Rumpkin.
Breaking Amish not on MTV though.
Yeah, no, MTV. Well, oh, was it? I thought it was.
Oh, did MTV have an Amish show as well?
Yeah. You know what? I may be getting confused. So we'll
got excited just, about it.
Yeah. Just remember there being an Amish show. So when you went Quaker and anyway.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Breaking Amish. Well, Breaking Amish, by the way. It was an ensemble cast that 100% was the MTV demo. They were all 18 to 22 year olds. So they were literally in this like post-teen, pre-adult sort of, so it definitely feels like a show. But, you know, MTV wasn't diving into culture as an organizing principle. They were diving into subgroups. It was more about the structure of a relationship than the infrastructure of the culture. And what shifted in 2008, so I got there in 98 is when I would say we started taking the cameras and putting them only giving, in fact, here's a little, in the early 90s, we're looking at celebrities. When I get to MTV, we start giving the celebrities cameras. And now we're like, here's a camera, go put it on yourself. Go tell your story, we'll give you 30 minutes. Go tell your story, come back. I was the guy going around town. Wade Robson, you need to have a dance show on MTV. You guys are getting married. This would be a great show after Newlyweds to have, you know, Travis and Shayna Mokler have their like what, you know, I'm walking around giving ideas that, and it was so weird to think, you know, how territorial people are about their ideas. They're very, very, you know, this is my idea. This is my concept. I own this idea. And I'm like, it's all about execution.
Yeah,
you can't actually. I'd much rather my idea be out there and someone else execute it. And I've seen, so I'm not territorial when it comes to throwing ideas out because I know it's all about execution and that's all relationship building. But that's what I got to do at MTV is literally walk around and also wilding out. So I brought Nick Cannon to MTV and Scott Venner and Rod Asa, my bosses then, you know, were instrumental in bringing this huge Nickelodeon star over.
Yeah.
But I saw Nick pitch Wildin' Out. I saw Wildin' Out get passed on. And I know that it was December break. Nick was still dating Christina Milian back at the time. And they went one night and they recorded a pilot of what Wildin' Out should be. They were pitching it just on paper without presenting video. And I remember him being like, I threw $15,000 into this. And I'm 29, 30 at that point. Nick might be 21 or 20. Maybe 19 even at that point. Because to me, I'm thinking a 19-year-old just spent $15,000 on a TV show. That's like crazy. I mean, he's obviously loaded and been, he's paid very well, but I still don't fully understand personal wealth. I'm Italian. We did not get taught In fact, I'm Italian. I'm the oldest of my siblings. And I learned from the same encyclopedia that all my aunts and uncles learned from. And there was no internet back then. So like
right.
limited info, limited data, you know, great imagination, limited data.
Exactly. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Do it.
That's what we're supposed to do.
And I think it's really relevant to, we kind of have a little series when we ask questions. Anyway, so what? I'm not going to Farley on this. But for you, I talk about first steps a lot as a coach for players. And it seems to go with everything. So with the first step, I know what's going to happen with that play or player within the first step or first 6 inches. Okay. Now for you, what would be your first step?
The first step for what was that?
For just being a casting director, getting your name out there for anybody out there.
Yes. Okay. I'll say five steps. Okay. First step would be clarity. So like, let's get real clear, crystal, like genie in the bottle, be afraid of what you wish for, crystal clear on how you want to be spoken about when you're not in the room, because those are the words that you have the ability to put in people's thoughts and people's minds and people's actions that you can bring to the table. So just be hyper, hyper clear on how you want to be spoken about. And that, by the way, I can break this down into a lot of subcategories, like I want to be seen a certain way in front of certain audiences. So understanding what audience listens to a podcast sometimes will change how I tell a story, because I want them to see me coming from a certain perspective, because I get to be the character in the story, and I love telling stories, other people's stories. I hardly ever get to be the character in my own mind. The other thing is mindset. You know, there's a lot of mindset. And I really want to pay attention to the mindset and mental wellness that it takes just to be on camera, to be creative. It's a very emotional process. And now we want to make money from an emotional process too. Like, let me tell you something about money. If you have a lot of money and you spend a lot of money, you do not get a lot of money left unless you make ads and sales and can incrementally grow. If you are creative and you spend all your creativity, you will have even more creativity. And that's sustainability of creativity, is that it is something that feeds itself and grows. So to measure creativity in business, knowing that they literally move in opposite directions, but we want them to be in sync. We want this post to bring us our next $10,000 check. We want this episode to bring us our next TV sponsor, or we want this series. We think transactionally. And that's where I think some of the mindset comes into play, especially if you're talking about the creator economy. Another way to call the creator economy is the decentralized marketplace, meaning I own my content. I'm not letting a single platform like MTV or Instagram dictate or distribute where my content can go. I'll let it be here, but it's also, I've got more control over the distribution amplification of it. I'll speed up real quick. Tactics. So tactics are awards and credits. I love helping people win awards. I have something called an award library. Come to my site, vpe.tv. I literally have like 100 awards that I've identified that I know you haven't won yet because you haven't applied. Last year, I won my first three awards. I won a W3 award, a communicator award, and my first Emmy after 25 years in TV. Oh, thank you very much, gents. But the thing I did differently was I applied. It's crazy to say this. I was strategic, but what's that?
You were strategic, you said, but you applied. So you
applied.
Check out you actually created an action. You did.
Yeah, I applied. And people don't know you have to pay a fee to be, you know, for an Emmy, you have to pay a fee to be in the Academy. You know, I want to thank the Academy. You've heard this. I want to thank the Academy for your consideration, meaning consideration is I paid money for you to consider the value in my content. So that's what thank you for the consideration of the nomination is. And then some awards you compete against other people, podcast projects, and some awards it's you're just solely up against yourself. There's a list of criteria, the judges go through it, everyone's given, everyone is compared to themselves, and then at the end of that process The top 30% are silver award winners. The top 2% are gold award winners. So I'm having fun helping people be award winners. It helps with sponsorship. It helps with marketing. It helps across the board. It helps with discoverability. And then credits. You can't listen to a podcast on IMDb right now, but IMDb is the same exact weight of a credit as a TV show and a film on IMDb, which means if your podcast is on IMDb right now, when this airs, you can add me as a guest on an episode of your podcast, which means your podcast.
That. I'm on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that for sure. Yeah. So now if people come to my page, Vinny Potestivo on IMDb, because I do all these other TV shows that people know me from, whatever. So if you're getting real world people looking me up, then they're going to go down to my podcast section and they're going to see what up. And they're going to say, oh, look at all these podcasts. Yeah. And by the way, if you have a production company, put it in there, because that's a data point that Google might not know yet. So this is where we can begin to officialize. I don't know. Begin. Where do we begin being a production company so that we can get affiliate, so that we can get licensing deals, so that we can start getting deals on a company level? It happens there. Winning awards. It's
all like on the side, we have to have conversations with.
Yeah, I'll come back.
Definitely. Yeah. Because we're literally talking about producing into the animation world.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, if anyone's looking, I have like step-by-step instructions on how to submit your podcast to IMDb. It's on audiolinked.com. So audiolinked, LINKED.com is the last piece.
And also please repeat your website.
Yeah.
VPE.TV. Five little letters.
And it's down in the description too.
Yeah, we'll have it down.
I appreciate that. Yeah, VPE.TV. VPE stands for two things. The Vinny Potestivo Entertainment. Hi, how you doing? It's nice to see you. I'm sorry I wasn't creative enough to name my company something crazy. I created it at a time of need. I wanted people to know where I was. I didn't want to hide behind a name. You know, I didn't. And by the way, I say this, and it's weird to say this, but like when I made the decision to do that, my grandmother gave me that name, which is weird. She's the matriarch of my family. It was not her name. You know, she was married into the Potestivos. So it's funny to think that I say that, but like I left MTV for because I wanted to really be proud of the content I was making. And I'm so happy that I had the career that I had and also have been so fulfilled in like what I'm making. And by the way, the last step, we talked about clarity, mindset, tactics, which are awards and credits. Take inventory of your strengths, take inventory of the people around you. So you know who you need, not what you need, but who you need to be successful. You know, we've all got really diverse skill sets, and this computer and these iPhones make it pretty easy to work with people from all over the world. So like, it's crazy. It's
everything now. You've got video camera, photo, you name it's in that box.
Whole operating, everything, HR, everything, operating CRM, it's all right there. So then the last thing, you know, is take inspired action. Don't just take action. Don't just make content, make a message. You know, don't just create media, create a moment. You know, don't just create content, create culture. So like take inspired action that is going to get people talking. That's how I create TV shows. Is this a conversation that a network would love to own and be a part of? So like ghosting, you know, or catfishing. MTV loves catfishing, you know, so you can think of some conversations that networks jumped on, teen pregnancy, 16 and pregnant. You can see how they jumped on certain conversations versus A&E, which is literally about change and empowering fans and empowering people in a way that, you know, that centralized establishments are not allowing to happen. So I have to be honest, that's what's made Wild and Out, that's what's made Challenged, Housewives, any of those shows that I've done, franchises that are just two decades plus, you know, it's because they didn't just live on television and they were never meant to be. They were meant to give you taglines so you can repeat them. My biggest fail, by the way, I'll tell you this, my biggest fail, Wilmer Valderrama pitched me Yo Mama. And I was like, that's not funny. How insensitive are you? Like, were you not bullied? Right. I'm sorry, I'm watching Fez on TV. Were you not bullied growing up? Like, no, people talked about my mom all the time because of my sexuality or my creativity or all the other horrible but wonderful things that make me me. And I took that as like an insult, you know, but I love that there's space, and he stuck to it. He pitched that idea and he got it made, and it became, you know, it became a talk point for people to share. It's a shared experiences. That's what we can talk about, is shared experiences, Super Bowls, you know, presidents, you know, all of those like big life moments, you know, Hurricane Gloria, you know, like the weather systems, even like snow systems that came in the 80s, like this, those shared experiences are ways that we really have an opportunity to make a relationship, not just a connection, but a relationship.
Yeah, and
I like that. That's why I talk about MTV so much, because y'all watched it. And it's like, this is my return. This is my return on energy, is this. Of course we get along together. Like we've been watching each other for as long as we've been making content without knowing. That's so cool. Yeah.
So you've been on the TV side. Are you now helping into the streaming line?
Yeah.
That's where things are going, right?
Absolutely. Very scary.
But at the same time, Netflix is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many streaming angles out there now. And then you also have people producing on YouTube, you know, like us, right? But they're also, I mean, like with the Vox Machina.
Yes, right? Vox Machina.
You know, they got together, they did the whole Dungeons and Dragons, and then they started recording it, and then it became this whole cartoon.
God. Yeah. So,
Critical Role, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that what it was?
I think so.
Yeah, Critical Role in
the
Vox
Machina. I don't know if you know what the Vox Machina is, but...
It's on Amazon Prime. It's hysterical. It's an adult cartoon.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Hysterical.
All right.
But it came from YouTube.
Yeah.
They were basically, they played Dungeons and Dragons.
That too.
Right?
Yes.
And then they created a cartoon off of that, exactly how they played the game.
Oh, that's funny. And using then, audio from like the real game or?
They, yes. Yeah. And then they made an animation off of it. Yeah. And then it got picked up.
Yeah.
And they made a whole like series.
It's phenomenal.
And everything in the series is based on how they're like, if they were going to fight this thing, how did they roll?
Yeah.
If they won or they lost, that's how the direction of the show went. And that's, you were talking about the shared experience. That is a big example.
Yeah.
Is that where you see a lot of this going?
Like, so, yes, because the problem that we're about to have with open access to everybody around the world instantly is culture. Is like, what's Mother's Day here in America is not Mother's Day in London. What's Independence Day here in America is not Independence Day anywhere else. You know, and that's a small example of the nuances in culture. Also, like I remember casting hosts in the late 90s on MTV, and there was this sort of boom where American audiences loved an English accent. It was almost like instant, you know, guaranteed instant credibility if they had an English accent. The hardest thing was that
tired of it.
Well, I don't like, I'm sensitive about accents. Yeah. So I'm like, that qualifies someone being smart. And like, I get castrated because I sound the way I sound. And you want me to say home instead of home? No, I'm not saying home.
And then the Jersey Shore came out and you're like, no.
Then I was like, all my work, everything I've done. No, it was easy. Then I was like, no. It was like, by the way, I was so mad because I was no longer Vinny from MTV in like 2 months after 10 years of being at MTV and on all those sidekicks and texts and TV. I was no longer Vinny from MTV. That
oh my God. That's so right.
Fugazi, that's crazy. Right over here. Dead. And I worked so hard for that, you know? Like, oh my God. Like my world. Yeah. But yeah, that's the spiel. That's how it goes.
Wow. What, well, let's just ask one more thing.
Okay, one more.
What's the most important thing that you want our viewers to hear about you and why they'd want to reach out to you?
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. Look, I've found, you asked earlier if I'm coming over to digital because that's where it's at. In 2006, I converted my first podcast to TV. I've always been digital. So I was creating SQL spreadsheets and I've been creating websites and selling CPUs in the 90s. So I've been digital first. I have a .edu email address because I had to get on Facebook in 2006 to start casting people before they gave access to it. And the fact that I can help so many people who are only educated in creating content from television perspective and help them take the step into the digital world is awesome. But even more fun for me is that in 2007, almost everyone on earth became a creator. In 2005, I only had a couple of thousand creators to work with. I only had a couple of thousand network executives in the world to work with. I only had a couple of, for 10 years at running my agency from 2007 to 2017, I probably had, that's when I was really focused on booking celebrities for TV and reality TV casting. I worked a tremendous amount of time, and we were always, luckily and God bless, we were always well-staffed and had great projects, but it was not, slim pickings, but they weren't the best projects. And now that I can pick and choose, you know, the energy that I'm putting out in the world to help business owners. Look, I've been getting business owners on TV, Look at Jessica Simpson. You want to say, who's the first business? She's a billionaire. I mean, literally took a pop star and turned her into a billionaire. She gets no credit. I get no credit. We get no credit. Actually, she gets a lot of credit. I think people saw what we were capable of. Ashton Kutcher.
Of the Sea or By the Sea, that's kind of like the major moment in her life.
And the beautiful thing about that is that comes in season two of the show when she's now gotten a chance to see season one. She's now aware. She has something that no one else on earth had at that point, because there was no such thing as social media. There was no personal view or public view into my personal life. And then feedback, an expectation of feedback and interaction. It was like, that was a lot to take in. I bring that up because I've gotten to work with celebrities. I've gotten to, kickstart Mandy Moore's, TV career, put Beyonce in her first film. I've worked with Andre. I worked with awesome celebrities because that's where I was. I was at MTV. That I had access to that Rolodex. Because those were the people that were in my building that I had access and clearance to. I went to the rooms where those people were to make those relationships. And then I went out afterwards late night and secured those relationships. So they, because it's about having fun and creating great content and culture. That's a relationship. That's not, you're not looking for a contact. You're looking for a relationship. Yeah. And that's what I was able to offer. And then probably 7 years ago, I took a step back from TV because of the tone, and I started playing around in the digital space. I helped Peter Thomas Roth become a digital brand. He was like killing it in Sephora. He's a skincare brand, and he was doing a great job. And I never worked with a brand before, and I never understood the power of a product. I'm addicted. I know what it's like to get people wrapped around a cell phone, wrapped around a TV screen, but to make something that makes my mom look and feel better, that you can't beat, that. I didn't get that in TV. I got advertising. I didn't get what was advertised. I didn't get to be a part of that product. And that to me is ridiculous. And then I'll never stop helping entrepreneurs, educators, people who are traditionally marginal. I will never, ever stop helping them stand out, be creative in their own unique way. And I'm learning so much still. Like, even now, I just moved I moved everything to Notion. I'm like, are you using this Notion platform yet? Have you heard of it? Notion. It's kind of like Notes meets like Asana meets, it's like a CRM, and you can publish it. You can publish websites on it. And so it's actually what's hosting my database. So if you all come to vpe.tv to check out my scripts or my awards or any of the stuff that I'm giving away for free, you'll see what it looks like. I'm pretty stoked about it. And
I can't wait to dive in.
I know. I'm like sitting here kind of chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. I'll send you the preview.
Hey, I'm writing notes down here as we go. Like, I mean, I have my notes that I read off of because that's just me. And I'm sitting here. Okay, I got to jot that down. I got to jot this.
The brilliant part of an interview with you, Vinny, is that we have a time limit, right? Yeah, we go 20 minutes.
That's it.
We are double that.
Oh, yeah.
And we literally have to cut this off because we just got too much content right now. But I could literally keep talking and talking and
this
talking.
This may even be a two-parter.
All right.
Because
I'm down.
He's been over here on the side going, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm like, give me more. Give me more.
We just...
He's like,
good keep for you.
And I'm like, no, keep going. So.
I know.
I'm picking up on that. And I want to also say, I'm in the beginning of my career and on camera and sort of this version of like what I'm doing. And, there's a method to be precise and concise. And, if you confuse, you lose. And I'm learning these steps along. I choose to show up and sort of be myself and take the opportunity to have the conversation more so than to squit the fair pig and the square. I don't even square peg
in the circle or vice versa,
something like that thing. Yeah. Even that, I don't even want to finish that thing.
Exactly.
I appreciate you guys letting us go over and seeing anything that we've talked about, you know, to give value to the audience or yourselves even, to break the mold. I love creating rules so we can break the mold. That's when you know you got a great episode.
Exactly.
There's good episodes that follow the mold and they're great episodes.
And I'm going to make an executive decision that we definitely want you back on about what, a few months, years? Cool.
Well, there's some stuff we need to talk about after.
Yes.
A little bit about, but let's what up this. This was amazing.
Vinny, what up?
Thank you so much. Everybody from us here at the studio to you, have a great day and a better tomorrow. What up?
What up?
What up?